Let me tell you a little story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. And somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Good luck translating that, Deli. Yeah. Every now and then you pick out those and you say, good luck to the translators, right? Yeah, that's right. There's many important jobs that sometimes don't get done because we just aren't clear who's responsible. And let me tell you, this morning we're talking about one of the most important items, one of the most important tasks perhaps in the Christian life, and that is our spiritual growth. That is our sanctification. And I'd like to talk not only about that, but who's responsible for that. Now, let's define some terms, because when we're talking about sanctification, actually the literal definition is to set it apart for a special purpose, to make something holy or sacred. Now, holy in the Greek is hagios, which defines God. The Scriptures talk about God as being holy, holy, holy. Takes three of them to describe how holy He is. He is totally different. He is totally pure. It takes us time to get to one holy, let alone three. And sanctification then refers to the process of us being made holy like God. In many ways, we could say that sanctification refers to the whole purpose of the Christian life. When we received Jesus, it wasn't just a one-time event that began and they say, okay, now we're heaven-bound. It began a process. It began a purpose where God says, now that you're one of mine, I'm not going to leave you the way you are. You're going to be transformed. You're going to be sanctified. The kingdom of God isn't just about going to heaven. It's about Jesus reigning in our lives right now. And if Jesus is reigning in your life or mine, we cannot be the same. And it's for that special purpose, sanctified, made holy, set aside for a special reason. I like to think of it kind of like our Christmas dishes. Ellen's collected these Christmas dishes. We only use them those once or twice a year because they're special. They're for that specific purpose. We keep them and keep them polished for that special time. We are created in Christ for a special purpose. We were created to do good works. Even before the beginning of time, God knew that when we came to Him, here was what He was designing us to do. This is what He was gifting us to do. We are to be those special dishes holding God's Holy Spirit. And good works cannot come out of a filthy vessel. Therefore, we need the sanctification. We need to be purified, and it needs to be a process. Good works come from the inside out. The Christian life is a journey that's from the inside out. Everything that we do is energized by what takes place inside of us. Spiritual growth is another term that we're going to be talking about. We might say that it's becoming more Christ-like. Now, that one always bothers me because I've never walked down the street and been misrecognized for Jesus. You know, it's not happened. Hey, that must be Jesus. No, it's not happened yet. Which means I'm falling a little short. But are people seeing a transformation? Are they seeing us become more Christ-like? Now, to be a little bit more specific about what this Christian growth is like, let me look at this. on the left, you see the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? And as what the Scriptures say, these are the qualities that if God's Spirit is in our lives, this is what just happens. This is just what comes along with it. If we are growing in Christ, if we are being sanctified, then we're going to see love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. According to God's Word, if we're growing in Christ, if we're being sanctified, it just comes. All right? Now, the works of the flesh that I've got listed here, actually this is not from any one passage in Scripture, but if you were to look in Scripture for all the places where the Bible describes sinful nature or describes sin, these are some of what's there. Sexual immorality, lust, hatred, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissensions, gossip, drunkenness, idolatry, deceit, arrogant, boastful. Some of those same passages also use pride and greed in some of those things. Now here's my question. When we're talking about spiritual growth, which list gets you most? Which list most accurately describes you? If you need to and want to start a fight this afternoon, ask your spouse to which list they kind of see, all right? But here's another one. If you just had to pick out on those two different lists two or three qualities that you say, this really sums me up most, whether they're the good ones or the bad ones, okay? These are the two or three strongest characteristics. And then I'd ask, which list are they in? Those two or three strongest qualities that you would have to say are in my life. Because here's what I'd say. If some of the strongest qualities in life are in this column, we're not growing. We've not been sanctified. By the way, also in this list, Scripture even lists anger and fits of rage in this. Disobeying parents is on these lists. Isn't that something? I wish I could have used that on my kids at different times, but it never worked. All right, but which qualities are there? Spiritual growth means things are happening. A transformation is taking place. It's kind of like what we'll read about here in Romans 12, where Paul says, "Brothers, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And actually, if you look at that, you say one other sign of spiritual growth is my ability to understand God's will. My ability to be able to hear God's voice in my life. Did you catch that on the last part? Part of sanctification is I am now hearing God more consistently. Now, so here's my question. That sanctification, that spiritual growth needs to take place. Who's responsible? Okay? Who's responsible? How does this happen in our lives? And actually, I'd like to tell you and spend some time with this that it's actually a joint project between us and God. We work together on it. Actually, some of the scriptures, John 15, Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You see what's happening there in the spiritual growth? Jesus says, if you just stay connected to me, your job is just to stay connected. Because if you're connected, I'm going to produce the fruit in you. You don't have to really work all that hard in it. It begins to come. When we read earlier those qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, if we're in Christ and God's Spirit is growing in us, those qualities come. You don't have to work real hard and say, patience, you know. It comes. The Holy Spirit brings it. We also see in Romans 7, this is Paul saying, he says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what's good, but I can't carry it out. Maybe you felt that way from time to time. Basically, Paul there is saying, you know, when it comes to spiritual growth, he says, I can't pull it off. I want to sometimes, but I find that sometimes my want to ain't powerful enough. That my sinful nature just doesn't grow. And here is part of the great message of growth. We're evil. We cannot do anything to save ourselves. But God comes along. And he fills us up when we receive him. And he puts his Holy Spirit in us and says, I'm going to do in you what you can't do for yourself. You can't sanctify yourself, but I'll do it. You know, a kid wants to be like LeBron James, but he's 5 feet and he can't jump, okay? At best, he can do a really, really bad impression of LeBron James. You and I want to be like Jesus. On our own, all we can really do is a very, very bad impression of Jesus. In fact, without the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we can't do anything that even pleases God. It's the Holy Spirit that does that work. Now, but here's what I got to tell you, because here's where this responsibility, who's responsible, comes in. We can hear that and say, okay, it's all God's responsibility. So I'm just sitting back here and saying, if I've got problems in my life, God just must be taking his time. You know, if I've got sin in my life, that must be God's problem because he's responsible. God made me this way. Remember the old Flip Wilson? You know, the devil made me do it. This is how I am, all right? God knows this is how I am. He created me this way. That's where the message of grace goes terribly, terribly wrong. Yes, there's a part of spiritual growth that only God can do. There's a part of sanctification that only God can accomplish. But here's the other part of who's responsible. You and I have an active part in it as well. Notice in 1 Peter, here's what Peter writes. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Notice what he said right off. What's the command? Rid yourself. Who's responsible? Yeah. I mean, he's saying, hey, this is your job. You need to do a little policing in your own life here. And if you see some slander or malice or deceit, that's your job. And then he says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And that, notice again, what's the command? Crave. That's the command. He's saying if you want to grow, it's your job to want it. It's your job to want that milk because that milk will help you grow. You see how it's my job too? We continue to move on. There's other scriptures that begin to tell us the same thing. Hebrews 5. Says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Now, I'm going to even stop right there. What's kind of being communicated here? A little expectation of, you know, you ought to be growing a little faster than what you are. Did you catch that in there? Kind of that there's a part of it that's our part, but you're slow to learn. In fact, though, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, in the question of who's responsible, do you see the answer there? There's an expectation that you and I ought to be moving along in a process. You and I, the longer we've been in Christ, sanctification ought to be moving. There ought to be a growth, you know, kind of like our kids, that, you know, when you kind of mark their height on the doorway. That spiritually speaking, there's some level of progress that's expected. That's our part of things. One other one. Paul in Philippians. He's talking about maturity. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Who's responsible? Paul's saying, man, it's me. It is my job. I am straining. And in fact, in the language that you hear him use, it's like you can see every muscle in his body tightened up as he says, this is my job to move forward in Christ. Now, we've got a responsibility, but just as the grace message can go terribly wrong, this one can too. Because sometimes we'll have Christians who try the Marine approach to Christianity. All right? Rambo Christians. All right? The Old Testament says, God says, be holy as I am holy. And so sometimes these Christians say, okay, God, your job's to keep yourself holy. My job's to keep myself holy. All right? And y'all just get out of my way because I'm going to be holy. All right? And these Rambo Christians kind of move on with a contest. I've memorized more scriptures than anybody else. I've witnessed to more people. I have a more regular quiet time. And I've given up more pleasures than anybody else so that I'm miserable, but for the sake of being holy. Right? And here's the truth. The truth is, sanctification is both. It's God, but it's also me. We got to be working together. And let me use a few images that I think work for me, and maybe some of these work better for you as well as understanding how sanctification can work. One image is the image from agriculture. Can you actually make a plant grow? No. There's something that's going on inside there that I can't do. And I can't make the rain fall when it needs to come, and I can't control the temperature totally. I'm guessing greenhouses we can do that to a certain extent, but on a large-scale basis, I can't control all the things that have to take place for a plant to grow. But I can control certain things like when I plant, and did I plant at the right time, and did I prepare the soil properly, so that I can receive the message the best that I need to have, and so that God's word falls on a heart that's receptive. I am responsible for things like weeding the garden so that distractions are moved out of the way and not choked out. It's God, but it's also us to be able to grow. Another image is the image of how an ocean vessel might move along. The Rambo Christians in life approach Christian growth like a rowboat, you know, furiously going at it all the time. Okay, got to work, got to make it happen, got to grow. Well, sooner or later, your arms are going to get pretty tired, and you ain't going to go far. Some other Christians will approach spiritual growth like being on a raft. Lord, here I am. All right, just take me. And if I'm not going anywhere in any particular direction, then, Lord, that must be your fault. Because I'm here. I'm available. And actually, the image that might work best is the image of the sailboat. The sailboat only moves as it's powered by the wind. And the Scripture is pretty clear that the wind is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says you can't see that wind, but you know it's there and you know the power. And the power of that wind is the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm not a sailor, but I've seen some of the shows, and people that are sailing, they work really hard. But their work is cranking things and moving around so that those sails are moved to best take advantage of the direction of the wind. That the growth and direction only takes place when empowered by God, but that our role is to get ourselves best positioned so that we can move forward when God speaks. Another image is going to sleep. Now, I mean, you can reach back there and turn on a switch and something happens. You cannot make yourself go to sleep that same way. All right? However, if you put yourself in the right condition, nice quiet room where you've had a chance to unwind, where things are dark and quiet, sleep will happen, right? And the same way in our Christian journey. I can't make all the growth happen, but I can put myself into the right position and the right frame of mind, and I'm removing all the other obstacles and distractions so that God can do his sanctifying work in me. Now, this discussion isn't just intended to be something that will interest you. This is vital stuff. Because I got to tell you, growth is not optional in the Christian life. Transformation is not an option. Well, you know, maybe one day I'll get around to it, Lord. In fact, that's one of the things I think gets us in trouble. If we're not careful, we could look around and discover that I might be getting older, but I may not be getting any holier. You know? That is a sobering reality, if that's the case. Because a lot of times we'll say time is on our side, you know. We got time. We'll deal with that. And then there comes a point where we say, but I've not changed. My life and my heart and my strengths and my weaknesses are the same now as they've been forever. Time's not on our side. Because here's some things I got to tell you. You and I are always being transformed. We are. But you're going to be transformed towards one of those lists or the other that we were talking about. We're either allowing God to transform us and then taking our share of the responsibility to grow spiritually, or Satan is transforming us and conforming us towards all those other lists, that list of the works of the flesh. You can't really be just drifting for long. You're drifting one direction or the other. Back in Romans 12, Paul used the words of, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. What he's saying is, if you're not being noticeably transformed to be more sanctified, then what is happening by default is you're being conformed to the ways of this world. And I got to tell you, sanctification is clearly God's will for our lives. We find this scripture in there as well. It is God's will. See, I didn't make this up, did I, when I said that? It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Is that any clearer? It is God's will that we become pure, that we become holy, that we become useful, that we become growing in Christ, and that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that's honorable. That is God's will. It's not a choice. But here's where we get in trouble, because this is where we pass the buck. We say, well, I may not be growing, but it's somebody else's fault. You ever heard that? You know, my spouse has really been kind of not very encouraging. My small group leader or my small group at church just doesn't feed me. The church just doesn't feed me. The preacher doesn't feed me. Listen, I want to tell you this. At a certain level in our Christian life, we need to be self-feeders. Folks, you and I got to get off the bottle. All right? And when I'm not talking about Arthur's kind of bottle. I'm talking about being bottle-fed like babies. There's a place where God expects us to grow in a way where we're taking responsibility for ourselves. Yes, now we need the church. The church has a responsibility to provide the atmosphere, to provide the encouragement. That's our job. That's clearly our job. But the church cannot make you grow. You will only grow when you come before God and say, Lord, I want it, and I'm here. I'm going to remove the things from my life so that I can grow. Said another way, if you want to grow spiritually, nothing can stop you. But if you don't care about spiritual growth, nothing will help you. Now, this sanctification is important for something else. And here's something. Look at this scripture. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's kind of an interesting verse, isn't it? Make every effort. We're talking about the part about being holy. Make every effort to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, at first you look at that and you say, well, that kind of sounds like works. You know, avoid enough of this and avoid enough of that so you'll see God. And that's clearly not the message of Scripture. I mean, the message of Scripture is there's nothing that you and I can ever do to deserve salvation. It's kind of like if you don't hit a certain holiness threshold, you don't get to see God. Now, here's what I think it means. If you're not holy, you're not going to see God, and it's going to be because if you're not holy, you don't really even want to see God. If holiness and sanctification aren't a priority in life, heaven's going to be pretty dull, I got to tell you. Because sanctification is I bring myself into God's presence and I'm saying, Lord, have it. You do whatever you need to do in me. Turn me inside out. If that's not where you are, heaven's going to be pretty dull. And I got to tell you about sanctification and growth. Without it, we're not much use. We owe it to all the people in our lives to be growing in Christ. Imagine how much better of a spouse we would all be if growing in Christ was a passion in our lives. Imagine how much better friends we would be to our brothers and sisters if growing in Christ was our passion. Imagine how much better pastors we would be or church members we would be, because self-help books will not create lasting change. Only the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit creates that change. It's the only thing that grows us. Now, it's also interesting, if we pursue growth for our own sake, it gets kind of self-fulfilling. It almost gets selfish. We grow not for our own purposes. We grow so that we can be more useful in the kingdom. That's the whole message. The message is that sanctification makes us more fit for ministry. I don't do it for me. If I did it for me, then I'm missing the whole point. I grow in Christ so that I can share Christ's love more accurately and more fully and more completely with everyone around me. And that's an important message for us, because we are at a stage as a church where we do need workers. Next week we're going to have a place where we're going to be saying, here's all the places where in the life of CBC we could use some work. We could use some workers. We're going to just ask you to be laying it on your hearts. You know, no guilt trip, but here's what it is. If God lays it on your heart, that's where it is. But I got to tell you, if you're being sanctified, if you're growing in Christ, there will be some places where you're going to find yourself saying, I want to be involved. Where is it? Lord, just show me where. Now, the last thing I got to tell you about this whole growth and sanctification thing is that it's a process. It's a journey. Now, some of you have had the privilege of traveling long distances with children, okay? And you know the question that you always hear when you're with them. Are we there yet? You know? I had to travel sometimes with my kids from Georgia, where I was living, to Illinois, where my parents were living, and that was sometimes an 11-hour road trip. And I tried to deal with that by loading up on lots of tapes and DVDs, and we didn't have those visual things, but things that they could be listening to that they'd never heard before, I'd kind of buy some of those. But inevitably, you'd still hear, are we there yet? All right. Well, growth, it's a journey, okay? Sanctification is a process. There was a family that lived in a remote area. I guess you might call these folks in the sticks. And if you're from West Virginia, they've told the jokes about that, and maybe in Kentucky or whatever. If you're not from the States, you'll just have to say people that live in a remote area and all that kind of thing. But one of those folks, they were in the city for the very first time and at a big hotel, fancy hotel, very first time. They'd never been in a place like that. And they had never seen an elevator. And so the old man was fascinated when he's just sitting here in this elaborate lobby and he sees these fancy doors open up and people get on and then they close and then other people come off Or sometimes people don't come at all, and he's just a little fascinated by that. Until one time he notices a little old lady kind of scoot on in there with her cane, the door's closed. And just a second later, the door's open, and a stunning young woman comes walking out. And he quickly said to his son, "Go get your ma." All right? Sometimes we wish Christian growth was like that. Okay? Just make it quick. Instant transformation. Sanctification is a journey. It's not an event. You never arrive. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying in one of those scriptures. You never arrive. It's always something he's pressing on towards. We tend to be task-oriented. That's a part of our wiring as Westerners, I think. In the Christian life, I think we got to define things less by the results and more by the process. At this stage in life, am I operating with integrity? At this stage in life, can people see the work of the Holy Spirit in just how I do business? Do people see Jesus? Because God has always said he's in charge of the results. He wants us handling the process in a way that glorifies him. Because the thing is, once you get rolling, once you begin to experience Jesus, you just want more. And if you don't want more, we got to talk, because I'd be concerned about you. To say it in another way, that transformation, according to Paul in Romans 12, it's a passive thing. He doesn't say transform yourselves. He says be transformed. It's something that only God can fully do. But there's our part of it. Look at this verse. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. What's the implication there? It's possible, right? The implication there is it's possible by something that I do or by my actions to really quench the Holy Spirit's work in my life. It's a joint process. Only God can do it, but you and I have to put ourselves in the right spot. You and I have to keep putting ourselves on the altar. You ever seen any of that time-lapse photography? You know, that time-lapse thing where they'll kind of show, they show the, maybe it's the butterfly coming, you know, out of the cocoon, and, you know, because that process takes a long, long time, but they kind of speed up the frame so you can see it. You know, there's a lot of things that go on in our lives where we can't see the change because it takes a long time. I look at pictures, old pictures of me, and say, my, I'm much grayer now than I was back then, you know. There was more hair then and all those sorts of things. But what if somebody took a time-lapse photography of our spiritual growth? You know, where you could kind of say, where we were then, where we are now, how's it shaping up? How is it changing? Because there's a handful of questions that come. Are you becoming more sanctified? Are you and I becoming more Christ-like? And if not, why not? What's the problem? If we're not becoming more Christ-like, I've got to ask you something else. Do you care if you're not becoming more Christ-like? What's getting in the way of that transformation? Because if you can identify what's getting in the way, I got to tell you, it's got to go. What proof is there that we're growing in Christ? If we do see some growth, who or what is God using to create that growth? Because if you've identified that, we got to get more of it. What relationships must be changed? Do you see sin in our lives? Because if we see sin, sin is inconsistent with sanctification. If there's sin, it's got to go. If you see sin, I got to ask, do you care? It's got to go. I would hope that this is the type of thing that if God lays it on our heart, we would say, Lord, what is it? Is the next step for me? Am I growing? Am I growing as quickly as you want? Am I being sanctified? Because if God's laying that on your heart, then we got to pray about some things. And I offer you that invitation. Love nothing more than to be able to have a talk with you as a pastor and his loving sheep. All right, let's talk. Are you growing like you want? Let's pray together about where that is and where you need to be and what is in the way. If you're not sure you've ever started down the road of salvation, that you've never been there, we need to talk about that too. God wants to change you. It's His will that we be sanctified. Father, we can't do it ourselves, and we're so grateful that you've given us your Holy Spirit to fill us, to transform us. And Father, it's our desire to honor you in our lives, and that we see the only way that's going to happen is if we continue to grow and if we allow you to sanctify us. But we got a role in that too. So Father, convict us of our role. Convict us and give us that desire. Give us the spiritual insight to see what's getting in the way of our spiritual growth. And give us the spiritual courage to remove it. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you've done here in Coronado and in this church, in this community. And we pray your continued guidance on us. We pray that as a church, you will sanctify us and make us more and more useful for your kingdom to give you glory. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.